I hope you enjoyed our first story titled Eggy. As I mentioned, we will need your feedback to make the show better. Please email your comments to storiesbythecreek@gmail.com. Let's move on. Our second story is also about Eggy. It is titled Eggy and the CB Radio. I hope you like it. Eggy and I have been together for about 6 months. Our love had grown stronger since I bought it from the mother of her original owner, whose son died in Vietnam in 1968. I had taken her to my friend Suleiman, who was studying to be a mechanic. Suleiman and I had worked together while he was in school, and we became friends. I even sponsored his mother to immigrate from Eritrea to the United States, so he felt indebted to me. I told him, take care of my car and we're even. He didn't have a shop like a conventional mechanic. He basically came to my house and worked on her there. He changed her oil spark plugs, basically gave her a physical. He told me I should take her on the road. He commented, cars are like dogs, or in your case, horses. We laughed at the analogy, Mustang. They had to run to stay healthy. He said, Eggy probably hasn't been driven above 40 miles an hour in 11 years. You should take her on the highway and open her up, blow out her carburetor. I asked, like, what, the Beltway, 395? He said, no, that won't be enough. Maybe a trip to Baltimore and back once a week in the morning for a couple of weeks. He was most likely right. Eggy had stayed in the garage since 1967. I only used her to drive around town and go back and forth to work. When I was next with my friends, I mentioned what Suleiman had said. And my friend Rick said, that sounds like a reason for a road trip. I said, I wonder where we should go. We sat and contemplated for a minute. Then finally I realized that we were in the last weeks of December. New Year's was just around the corner. Let's go to New York and spend New Year's Eve in Times Square, I suggested. There were four of us who decided to make the trip. It was Rick, Hawk, Steve, and myself. Eggy was in great shape, but she needed one thing to make her perfect for the highway. I needed to buy her a CB radio. See, back in those days, CB, or Citizen Band, was the only way that you could communicate other than using a telephone. The doctors and the rich people had phones in their cars. The normal person couldn't afford that. CB was commonly used by the truckers on the highways to avoid boredom or long hauls. It had become very popular with other commuters also. There was a movie, Smokey and the Bandit, starring Burt Reynolds, which had really made CB radios popular. I went to the store to buy my CB. The guy had just the brand I needed, one perfect for my car. It fit perfectly behind the stick and had attachment that allowed the CB to be powered through the cigarette lighter. And it was able to give me all the CB channels, especially channel 19, which was the most popular and the well-monitored channel. After I bought the CB, the salesman informed me that I would need to buy an antenna so that I could broadcast. I said, okay, but how do you mount it on my car? He informed me that they would drill a hole through the trunk, and then they would run the antenna through that hole and run the cable through the back seat of the car to the front where they would plug it into the CB. I said, there will be no drilling of any holes in my car. Is there another option? He informed me that he had a smaller antenna that wouldn't have the range that the larger one did, but it'd be able to be mounted on the truck using a magnet. I said, I'll take that one. Once the CB was installed, the salesman turned it on, picked up the microphone and said, Breaker 19, this is George of the Jungle. Can I get a radio check? All of a sudden, someone came on the line and said, copy you, George of the Jungle. This is Roadrunner. I copy you 10-2. Thank you, Roadrunner, 10-4. He looked at my excited face and said, it's working. You're ready to go. I asked him what all that meant. He explained that his handle, which is his registered name with the FCC, is George of the Jungle. To enter the channel, you need to ask for a break, and then you can speak. He asked for a radio check. Roadrunner acknowledged his request with a 10-2, which meant reading you loud and clear. He had the paperwork for me to fill out for the FCC handle, which I decided I would do later. I couldn't help myself when I drove off. I decided to do the same thing he did. So I got on the microphone and said, Breaker 19, can I get a radio check? I got a reply that said, Breaker, this is Dr. Love. I copy you 10-2, loud and clear. I answered back, 10-4, good buddy. With that small conversation, I knew I was ready to go with my CB. The next thing he said was very interesting. He said, Dr. Love, to the guy with the radio check, what's your handle? Oh no, I was caught. I had to think fast. I decided since Eddie was blue and I was already breaking the CB rules that we together would be the Blue Bandit. I answered back, this is the Blue Bandit, I replied. That's how Eggie and I became the Blue Bandit. We decided to get up early on New Year's Eve and leave to try to get into Times Square by early afternoon. I was up at 6 a.m. I picked up Hawk and Steve and Rick last because he lived closest to the highway you needed to take to start for the trip to New York. Once everyone was in the car, I took the CB radio and the antenna out of the trunk, loaded Rick's luggage, set up the CB up for our trip. Going to New York from Washington, you'll take the Baltimore-Washington Parkway till you get to Baltimore. Then you catch 95 North, which you ride all the way through Maryland till you get to Delaware. In Delaware, you cross the Delaware Bridge, and then you take the New Jersey Turnpike, and that will take you to New York City Lincoln Tunnel and ultimately to Times Square. That was the plan. We got in the car with the luggage in the trunk and the CB attached, and we began to drive on Baltimore-Washington Parkway north to Baltimore. Once on the highway, I turned on the CB and I said, Breaker 19, this is the Blue Bandit. Can I get a radio check? I had learned some of the language over the last 2 weeks. Immediately, I got a reply from a Lucky Joe, gave me 10-2. Lucky Joe asked where we were headed. I explained how me and my friends were going up through Baltimore, ending up in the Big Apple, which was CB jargon at that time for New York. He informed me that he was just 2 miles ahead of us on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and that he could be our front door if we could be his back door, and we could start our own convoy and watch out for Smokey Bear. I said, that's a 10-4, good buddy. Smokey Bear was the CB jargon for highway patrolmen. The front door, it meant I'll keep track of what's in the back of me through my rearview mirror, and he will let us know what's in the front. After we finished our conversation, Mr. D came on the 9. There's a bear bite at marker number 32, good buddies. I acknowledged to Mr. D that we did copy 10-4, and we would make adjustments. I relayed to Lucky Joe, he acknowledged that he had heard, and we proceeded to slow down. A bear bite is CB jargon for a radar trap, where a highway patrolman has set up at the bottom of a hill to catch those people who are speeding and cannot see him until they get over the top of the hill and are coming down. This is where the CB radio came in so handy for truckers and other people that drove the highways. If you saw something, you would be able to communicate that to the people behind you, and they would be able to make adjustments. Just after that communication, Lady Marmalade came on and said, Breaker 19, this is Lady Marmalade. I'm riding on Baltimore-Washington Parkway with you guys, and I'd like to join your convoy if you don't mind. The way I had the pedal to the metal, I was sure going to get bit by that bear trap. That's a big 10-4, Lady Marmalade, I said. Well, good buddies, look like our convoy is moving along. Mr. D, you appeared to be the front door, but I'm not going to let you keep taking all that heat. I'm going to cruise up as fast as I can, and I'm going to take over the front door, and me and little Eggie. Her doctor said she needs to blow out her carburetor. This is a perfect time for that. I increased my speed, and after about 10 minutes of driving, I heard over the CB. I saw a small blue Mustang flying by me with four guys. Is that you, Blue Bandit? I replied, yes, that is us. I'm going to do the front door from here on, you guys. Put the pedal to the metal and just keep it on, and I'll let you know if there's anything for you to worry about. I always said, also said to Lucky D, to be careful. Bears got ears. And when you describe me like that, like the way you did, you kind of put me out there. And I'm not as lucky as you, good buddy. He replied, I got you, Blue Bandit. So we're cruising on up to Baltimore, making great time. We got to Baltimore in no time, about 40 miles into our trip. And we take the 95 North exit. Over the radio, I hear, that's it for me, good buddies. Time to lead this convoy. It's been a pleasure. Lady Marmalade out. Then all of a sudden, me too, had a great run. Lucky Joe out. The rest of the convoy went on and followed us on 95 headed towards the Baltimore Tunnel, which is the first toll of many tolls going north. The next one is at Delaware Bridge. Before you get to the tunnel, though, on the right-hand side of the ocean is Fort McHenry. That is the fort that is the inspiration for the Star Spangled Banner. I was moved to see the large flag that flew over the fort, the ramparts still standing. I started singing the Star Spangled Banner to the dismay of all my other co-riders who begged me to stop. Once on 95 North, we got through the tunnel. We decided to get back on the CB and see if we could find a new convoy that we could ride up the road till we get to the split, which is a fork, with 95 going to Philadelphia on the left side, and on the right side, New Jersey Turnpike going to New York through New Jersey. The New Jersey Turnpike is the best way to go if you're going to New York. It's much easier, much faster. You don't have to go west to come back east as you would do if you took 95 to Philadelphia. It's a toll road, but it's a much faster road if you're going to New York City. And we needed to get there early enough so that we could enjoy ourselves and check into the hotel and be ready for New Year's Eve. Breaker 19, this is the Blue Bandit. Me and a couple of members from the Baltimore Washington convoy are trying to join one of you good buddies going up to the New Jersey break if we could. All of a sudden, I heard a reply. Breaker 19, this is Hog Hauler. I copy. How many in your convoy, Bandit? Mr. D got on and said, Breaker 19, this is Mr. D. I'm here also. Hog Hauler replied, where y'all located? I informed him, we just got finished getting through the hole in the ground, so we're at the back door. Alrighty, we'll keep an eye out for Smokey up here. And you guys on the back door, you keep an eye out for Smokey, whether he is Evil Knievel or Fox in the Hen House. Evil Knievel is jargon for a motorcycle police officer. And Fox in the Hen House, that's basically an undercover highway patrolman in a regular undercover car, in a regular car. You guys watch the bear traps up front. Copy that, good buddy? He replied to me. He said, one of you all might want to come and take the front door, though. We're all truckers in this convoy, and you can move much quicker than we can. Breaker 19. This is the Blue Bandit. I'd like to be the one to take the front door if I could. But I need to know how far it's clear before I hit that front door. You're good to exit 24, buddy, Hauler replied. Exit 24 was about 4 miles up, and that basically meant that I had 4 miles that I could travel at any speed that I wanted, and not have to worry about anybody catching me or writing me a ticket. Once I got to the exit 24, I said, Breaker 19, this is the Blue Bandit. I'm in exit 24. It's all clear up ahead. Breaker 19, this is Kingfish. I'm at the front door of this here convoy, and I can tell you that you're going to be good for the next 10 miles if you want. I said, copy that, Kingfish. I'm moving on up. Breaker 19, this is the Blue Bandit. I'm at the front door and the back door of the convoy in front of me. You're clear all the way for the next 14 miles. And I'll have them relayed back to you, good buddies, what's going on once I get up there. So I was basically informing the convoy that I was in that I was moving to the front of the convoy that I had just caught, and that I would be the front door of that convoy, and they would relay any information that I gave back to the back door of my previous convoy. So now me and Eggie, we're basically at the front door. And me and Eggie are moving forward. We continue to do this mile marker after mile marker, exit after exit for many miles until we hit the Delaware Bridge. This is another toll stop. Breaker 19, I get him the line. Blue Bandit, I'm at the toll booth. You're clear till you get there. We paid the toll and came over the bridge. I was so occupied once we got on the other side with the conversation, trying to see how clear I had it to the next mile marker, that I didn't realize that I was coming up to the fork in the road that splits 95 and New Jersey Turnpike. But before I knew it, I was on 95 looking at the New Jersey Turnpike across a ravine that I knew this, and I knew this was going to add plenty of time to our trip. So I made a split decision that I would take Eggie across the ravine at the only location that I thought she could jump and come up on the other side and get back up on the freeway. It was a very risky move because my car was not heavy. Except for the weight of my friends inside and myself, it was a very light car. And we were doing about 65 miles an hour at that point. But there was one small area that I thought she could do it. So I put my foot on the clutch and turned Eggie at an angle down that ravine, hoping she wouldn't turn over. She kept all four wheels on the ground, dragging through the grass. We were losing speed, and I wasn't sure we would make it over the ravine and up the other side without getting stuck. And then we jumped over the ravine about 40 miles an hour, and I popped open the clutch with her in second gear and started hitting the gas, and we started crawling. And my friends were screaming, and the car was dragging and shooting grass up that hill, till we finally popped up on the other side. The problem was we were only doing about 2 miles an hour with cars passing us at 70 miles an hour. It was not a very comfortable position to be in, so I put Eggie in first, popped the clutch, put her in second, put her in third, got her up to about 45 miles an hour, still not fast enough to merge into the fast lane. And we're on the side of the road, and the road is getting ready to close. Lucky there was a break in the traffic, so I could merge into the fast lane. But I got out of it as quick as I could with my foot stomped on the gas. By then, she picked up speed. She got up to about 50, got out of that second lane of cars, pulled into the third lane, and I could see in my rearview mirror that a car was coming speeding behind me. So I had to get over into the slow lane, which is the first lane. At that point, Eggie's doing about 60 miles an hour, so we made it. Next thing I hear on the CD is, Blue Bandit, you and that little Mustang are badasses. Badass is CB jargon for cool. We didn't have to drive long before we hit another toll booth. This time you didn't have to pay, you just take a ticket. You pay when you get off of the turnpike. I decided to stay in the slow lane because I wasn't sure whether I had damaged Eggie jumping over that ravine. I loved my car, and I knew that was a very dangerous move that I made her take, and I was worried that I could have broken her axle or at least flattened one of her tires. But Eggie was like a wild Mustang. She jumped that ravine, climbed that hill, got on the freeway, picked up that speed, and was driving and purring like nothing ever happened. We continued on up the road. I got back onto the CB, but I decided I didn't want to be the front door anymore. For the rest of the trip, we just followed along listening to the CB chatter. We found out where we were in the convoy, picked up speed when we had the opportunity, and stayed at the speed limit when we didn't. But we were pretty well moving at the regular pace of the trucks at that point. I wanted to blow Eggie's carburetor out. I didn't want to damage her. And I felt like she had proven herself enough to me that day. We got up in the end of the New Jersey Turnpike, saw a bunch of bear traps, which everybody was able to avoid. Said goodbye to all the good buddies that we had ridden up the road and conversed with. I understood at that point why the truckers decided to use the citizen van system. A four-hour trip was exciting and went past so fast.